And so we are going to finish our series on beginning to build today as we read the first three verses from chapter 13 of Nehemiah. Bible says, on that day. Can you say that with me? On that day. We're going to be taking a look at that day. On that day, the book of Moses was read aloud in the hearing of the people, and there it was found written that no Ammonite or Moabite should ever be admitted into the assembly of God. I'm looking for Ammonites or Moabites out there. Because they had not met the Israelites with food and water, but had hired Balaam to call a curse down on them. Our God, however, turned the curse into a blessing. When the people heard this law, they excluded from Israel all who were of foreign descent. Lord, we come before you this morning. And Lord, we want to follow you, Lord. Lord, we want to come out, Lord, of pandemonium in our lives. Lord, we want to find truth in you, and we want to find a way that we can follow that, Lord. We can grab onto your truth, Lord. Step onto, Lord, the path, Lord, to righteousness and fulfillment and success in our lives, Lord. Lord, we pray that you would come this morning, that you would guide and direct us, Lord. Lord, we can look back next Thanksgiving and see Thanksgiving of 2013, Lord, was a week and a day for change. We'll give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Well, look at Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving has a special part in my family's lives, my children's lives. Look back 21 years before they were even born. And on the night before Thanksgiving, Lisa and I were having communion, and her mom was there, and her mom's friend was there, and I had planned to propose to her in this communion time, and I was talking about what a husband needs to do to die to himself, and that a wife would submit to her husband, and I start going into this, and Lisa's mom's friend starts busting my chops on the theology of wives submitting to their husbands. And I'm just going, lady, back off here. I got some stuff going on. And finally, she gets the drift, and I kneel down, and I propose to this wonderful woman. Life is transformed. Amen, amen. Now, that's not all. I was in Bible college at the time, and I had this incredible mentor, and his name was Alan Groff, or Tex Groff, he was called, because he was from Texas. And he was this, he must have been, 65, 70 at the time. And that was 20 years ago, so he was older looking to me because I was so much younger. And he had met Lisa, and I talked about marrying Lisa to him. And he said, Bob, you marry Lisa and you will never regret it. He said, I know young men in the ministry today, and they have married wives, and if they had it to do, they would do it differently. Now, they're not going to get divorced or anything, but if they could, they would choose differently. And I'm telling you, if you choose Lisa, you'll never feel that way. And 21 years, I have never felt that way. Amen? That's my Thanksgiving story. Talk about a day for change and talk about choosing well. You know, we are taking a look at Nehemiah and taking a look at the rebuilding of Jerusalem. That Nehemiah came to Jerusalem and it was a city in disgrace. You know people living in disgrace? People living in Jerusalem with the walls down. Their enemies very close, living in disgrace. Zerubbabel had come 95 years earlier and had started rebuilding the temple. Had no effect. Had some effect. didn't have the impact that Nehemiah had. Ezra had come 13 years previously, started preaching the word, did not have the impact that Nehemiah had. Hard to have revival when there is no structure in your life to contain it. Amen? Hard to find traction for that word in your life when it just goes running out. Lisa and I have been working in City Heights for 15 years. One thing we have learned is there's not a lot of structure. Hard for the word to find traction. Word goes in, word goes out. There's nothing to hold it. You know what I'm talking about? Sometimes you just spin your wheels. How are you doing today? You need change. The title of today's message is A Day for Change. Nehemiah starts working on the walls. Actually, he doesn't do any work on the walls. He leads the people that are going to do the work on the walls, and they are completed in 52 days. 52 days from today is January 15th. Perhaps there is something that needs to start in your life that won't be completed until January 15th. You know what I'm talking about. It might not be completed until February 15th. But if you don't start, you'll never finish. If you don't start, you might never change. And for some of you, it's a day to start. Because you desperately need some change going on in your life. We've seen three steps to change that Nehemiah has done. Number one, he built the walls. Number two, he poured the word in. Ezra poured out the word. And number three, they entered into a covenant with God. And that covenant revolved around three things. Number one, they would honor the Sabbath. They would honor the Sabbath day and they would honor the Sabbath year. Number two, they would bring their offerings into the temple. Offerings of from their flock, from their fields, from their home. And number three, they would not intermarry with the pagans or the Gentiles around them. See, you get structure, you get truth, and then you move into it. Amen? Amen? It is so hard without any structure in your life to find that truth. And sometimes you find that truth and it's bleeding out before you can find a way to grab on and move into it. Amen? You're going to find change. You're going to find something new in your life when you get some structure, get that truth, and move into it. And today, that might be what you need in your life. A day for change. Amen? Amen. Let's take a look. Number one. We got to rewind 12 years here. From what we read in chapter 13, verses 1 through 13, we're going to go back 12 years to when, or almost 12 years, a couple months shy of 12 years, when they completed the walls. Nehemiah 12, 43 and 44 says, on that day they offered great sacrifices, rejoicing because, did you say rejoicing?
Rejoicing.
Now the sacrifices that they made were the sacrifices that they brought. I was starting to say, Nehemiah built those walls. Actually, he didn't do any building. He led the people that did the building. Amen? You come in here needing change, you might come in here saying, yeah, change me. No, no, no. It's not our job. Our job is to guide you into change. Change is going to happen. We don't have a line of people waiting to fix you. Can I get a witness on that? So you might have come in thinking, hey, where's the line? I am here. I am ready to be served. I am ready to be... No, 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 no. See, Nehemiah led the people who would do the work. And if you're going to find transformation in your life, you got to do the work. You got to find structure so that truth don't bleed out. And then you got to step into that. They were rejoicing because God had given them great joy. Women and children, all... And this is after 52 days of work. You know, you can find joy in work. God had given them not just joy, but great joy. The women and children also rejoiced. The sound of rejoicing in Jerusalem could be heard far away. And at that time, men were appointed to be in charge of the storerooms for the contributions, first fruits, and tithes. That's what they were bringing in. They had to make rooms in the temple so that they could contain them. Amen? From the fields around the towns, they were to bring into the storerooms the portions required by the law for the priests and the Levites, for Judah was pleased with the ministering priests and the Levites. And as we take a look at this, you just see that everything is dialed in. Nehemiah, please turn that phone off. Nehemiah had worked for 12 years. Is that you, Mrs. Metz? No, your phone is actually on my desk. Yes. All right. Mr. Woodbury, I think your phone is ringing. Nope. Somebody. We'll find them. They'll find it. All right. Everything is dialed in. Not like that phone. Everything is dialed in. Nehemiah was working 12 years there. And what we see here is kind of a picture of what had happened in that 12 years. And it is working. It is working good. The offerings are coming in. The Levites would go out into the cities and collect the offerings. And they would bring them to the storerooms, and there would be food, and there would be provisions for the Levites. They had cities of singers around. There were so many singers to sing at all the stuff that was going on. They had rotation. They had cities built. That's a lot of singing. Amen? Amen? That's a lot of singing. So they had food for the singers. They had food for the gatekeepers. Everything was just dialed in. And it was dialed in because they were in covenant with God. They were stepping into that truth. And that truth was, hey, we're going to bring the offerings. Hey, we're going to honor the Sabbath. And hey, we're not going to marry all the foreigners that are around us. The people that are serving pagan gods. The Ammonites and the Moabites, their way of worship was to offer their children in fire to their God. God says, don't have anything to do with that. And there's some stuff that's going on around you that you shouldn't have anything to do with. Amen? Amen? Levites, priests, singers, and gatekeepers, all cared for. A delicately balanced system. Let's move ahead 12 years. Nehemiah has gone back to King Artaxerxes. Artaxerxes lived in Susa. Susa is, I don't know, 100 miles or so, kind of northeast from Babylon. Thing about Susa is it is blazing hot in the summer. So kings move to where it's a little bit cooler. The king had moved to Babylon. That's where Artaxerxes was, and that's where Nehemiah went. Eliashib, the priest, in his absence, Eliashib the priest had been put in charge of the storerooms. That's kind of cool. He wasn't just a priest. He was the high priest. A trustworthy guy. Take good care of everything. Amen? And he says he was closely associated with Tobiah. Anybody remember Tobiah? Tobiah was one of the head enemies of Nehemiah. One of the head guys that wanted to stop the walls being built, stop the change, stop the progress, stop all that stuff. And Eliashib had moved him right into the temple. Do you think that might be a conflict with Nehemiah? Oh, yeah. He said he had provided him with a large room formerly to use to store the grain offerings and incense and temple articles. Anybody see a problem with that? See, if Tobiah's living there, there's now no more room for the offerings. Where are we going to put the incense? Where are we going to put all the stuff for worship? Also, the tithes of grain, the new wine and oil. All this was going on. I was not in Jerusalem, for in the 32nd year of Artaxerxes, king of Babylon, I had returned to the king. Sometime later, I asked for, he was gone for several years, because, well, I'll just tell you in a minute. Sometime later, I asked for permission and came back to Jerusalem. Here I learned about the evil thing Eliashib had done in providing Tobiah a room in the courts of the house of God. And this delicately balanced system has begun to unravel, because now there is no room to store the things that the Levites gathered. Okay. The other issue is the things that the Levites gathered was what the Levites ate. And so since the Levites could no longer eat from the provision in serving the temple and serving the Lord, they went home to their own fields. So there was no food to feed the Levites. There was no food to feed the singers and the gatekeepers, and all this delicate system began to unravel. And it happens because the enemy is inside the walls. When the enemy is inside the walls, it's like not having walls at all. Can I get a witness on that? He provides Tobiah with a room to stay right in the temple, and he moves right in. And he's shaking and baking, and he's getting paid. You get the wrong people near you, you're going to find collapse in your life. Can I get a witness on that?
That's right.
See, some of you got the wrong people right close. And you wonder why you can't find success, and you wonder why you can't find victory in your life. And it's because these wrong people are dragging you down, dragging you back. Eliashib let Tobiah in. It doesn't really matter who let the bad people in your life next to you. The problem is that they're next to you. The problem is that they are not out for your good. Comes right down to it. You're never going to find success with the wrong people next to you. Because what you've got to have is you've got to have structure and you've got to have truth. And then you got to move into that truth, and those wrong people will keep you from moving into that truth. Amen? Amen. Sometimes those wrong people will keep you from finding truth. Yeah. Shortly after Lisa and I were married, we started ministering at an orphanage down south of the border. And we got there, and it was dire straits financially. I mean, ready to close time. And I'm just this young, fired up kid. Dude, man, whatever. Right out of Bible college, and I got no clue what's going on. I'm just like, hey, we're just going to serve the Lord. And we put it together a system. We were there for 3 years, put a system of sponsorship, you know, like World Vision, all that kind of stuff, sponsorship for the orphans. And we would have teams come down, and they had teams going on for years, but the system of support that came through, we were able to feed the orphans, we were able to support the orphans, and after 3 years, the financial situation at the orphanage was reversed. I mean, there was tons of resources. We were building churches and all kinds of stuff. It was just a dramatic reversal. But I began to have an issue with the choices that were being made with the funds. And I was out there saying, hey, we're going to feed orphans. And it wasn't sinful stuff. It really revolved around the purchase of new vehicles for the staff. I mean, you've seen my car. I mean, I drive an old car. I work on my car. You know, I don't pay a mechanic. And so I just had a problem. And doing that, and they bought one vehicle, and I just had to really bite my teeth on it. And then they bought another new one right on the heels. And you know, at that point, I just said, I can't do this. I can't go out, raise money to feed orphans, and take that money and use it to buy brand new vehicles for the staff. And I said, at that point, we're done. Now, we still ministered faithfully there, but we were done, and we were looking for the next place to come. And the Lord brought a succession of two churches that we ministered to, and the third one, they were both inner city churches, and the third one is this one. And so the change that happened that day has led us right here to this spot. Amen? See, sometimes you got to make a change. And you might have people around you right now. You might have situations around you right now. You got to make a change. And now that change might be incredibly complicated. See, I don't see how I'm going to make it. But making a decision that I can't live the rest of my life like this, and I am looking for change, that's a start. It might take 52 days. It might take 82 days. But until you start, you're never going to change. Amen? All right. You know, we're going through two chapters of Nehemiah today. I might be a touch long. All right. Anybody else say that's okay? All right, okay. All right. Rest of you guys, sorry. Hey, Dave's going to be grilling some stuff for you guys, so you'll be okay. You won't starve. All right, number two, a day of reconstruction. And some of us need reconstruction, amen? All right, verses 8 and 9. I was greatly displeased. This is Nehemiah talking. Nehemiah's looking at the situation with Tobiah, the enemy guy. He is an Ammonite. He is used to sacrificing children to the god of Baal. Oh, this is not the guy you want in the temple. I was greatly displeased. I think that's probably lightened up a little bit. I was greatly displeased and threw all of Tobias's household goods. Now, what's a household good? See, Terry, you've been moving. Tommy, you've been moving, Terry. You're talking couches. You're talking plates. Here's this guy. There was a storeroom for food, and now he's living in it. Can you imagine if Pastor Ramiro was living in his office, taking showers and stuff? It was like, wait, we were just going to do an office there, man. See, you get the bad guy. I'm not saying Pastor Ramiro's a bad guy. Let's say Pastor Dave, because he's not here right now, you know. Pastor Dave, you're supposed to get your own place. You can't be living there. But see, when you get bad guys in, it is hard to contain them. Amen? It's like sin, man. It just gets worse and worse and worse. The bad guys just keep on doing worse and worse and worse. And you're thinking in your heart, this wasn't the deal. Nehemiah comes in and says, I took Tobiah's household goods, threw them out of the room, and I gave orders to purify the room. See, he was living in one, but he was messing up a bunch of them. Nehemiah says, we're going to purify the whole place. And then I put back into them the equipment of the house of God with the grain offerings and the incense. Nehemiah cleans things up. You know, and he didn't even wait on it. He said, whoa, what's going on? We're going to make a change right now. And see, and some of you guys have just been, the Jews had been putting up with it. Well, if Eliashib says it's a good idea, I think it is. What do you think, Marge? Well, it must be a good idea. It's the chief priest, the high priest. No, Nehemiah says it's not a good idea. Tobiah has got to go. Purify the rooms. Bad guys take more than you intend them to take. And there's people around you, just let them do it. Just going by to get by. See, it's easier to go along than to fight. Amen? Amen. It's easier to go along than to change. But see, what we have seen in Nehemiah is that you've got to get some structure in your life. Then you got to be able to get some truth, and then you got to start moving into it. Amen? Amen? And there's people around you that'll trip you up all along the way. And that's what Tobiah was doing with the whole city of Jerusalem. Nehemiah is gone for several years, comes back and says, this is not going to go on anymore. And I dare say there's some people that would love you come into your life and say, this is not going to go on anymore. You look back at the pain of some of the people that are bringing into your lives, and Nehemiah would say, you look forward, that pain is going to get worse and worse and worse. My question for you today, is that what you want? Or do you want a path to success? A path to blessings of God? Because if you do, you got to get some structure. You got to get some walls. You got to get some truth poured in, and then you got to step into that truth. Amen? All right, let's keep going. Nehemiah is making some changes. I also learned that the portions assigned to the Levites had not been given to them. What? Probably in Tobias' pocket. Amen? He said, and that all the Levites and the singers responsible for the service had gone back to their own field. So I rebuked the officials and asked them, why is the house of God neglected? Then I called them together and stationed them at their posts. All Judah brought the tithes of grain, new wine, and oil into the storeroom. I put Shelemiah the priest, Zadok the scribe, and a Levite named Pedadiah in charge of the storerooms and made Hanan, son of Zachar, son of Mattaniah, their assistant, because these men were considered trustworthy. Amen. Who do you got that's trustworthy, that's close to you? Who do you have that will speak in your heart like Alan Groff spoke into my life? Said, you make this choice, you're never going to regret it. We all need somebody like that. Amen? They were made responsible for distributing the supplies to their brothers. Nehemiah says, hey, we're going to make this right. Maybe you need somebody to come around your life today and say, we need to make this right. We got to make some changes. The whole system is messed up. They got no place to store the food. They got no place, nobody to go get the food. So they stopped bringing their offering. And what we see is a breakdown of the covenant that they made with God. Talking about three parts of that covenant. They are neglecting the first one. He says, how come you guys are neglecting the house of God? How come you guys are neglecting bringing your offerings? Key point number one. Key point number two is they weren't bringing the offerings, they couldn't feed the Levites, and they couldn't feed the gatekeepers. The gatekeepers were there to do what? They were to keep out the merchants who were selling food on the Sabbath day. So Nehemiah is there, and he's saying, what are all these people doing selling all this stuff on the Sabbath day? Well, there's no gatekeepers to keep them out. And then he saw that the Jews were stomping and making wine on the Sabbath day. And you see that progression? Nobody minding the gates. All of a sudden, the Gentiles come in. They start doing all kinds of stuff they're not supposed to do on the Sabbath. And then the Jews start doing all kinds of stuff that you're not supposed to do on the Sabbath. And what happens is they're now breaking the second component of that covenant. So you've got to build some structure, grab some truth, and move into it. The truth that they were moving into was, one, we're not going to neglect bringing the tithe into the storehouse. Step number two was, we are going to honor the Sabbath. And so this is the second step, the second point of that covenant that they are not honoring. And you start getting away from truth, you start getting away from the Lord, and you start losing out on the blessings of God. Amen? Because the covenant, that truth, that pursuing of the truth, you get closer to God, you get closer to the things of God. Amen? Amen? All right. Let me see where I'm supposed to be here. We okay? Good. Nehemiah found some honest guys with the right priorities and put them in charge. Put them in charge of all the wealth of the temple. Got rid of Tobiah. I don't see Eliashib's name anywhere near this. Nehemiah had to put some new people in charge. You're going to grow closer to God. It's going to require movement. If you're going to move, it's going to take change. Amen? I was at a service before I met Lisa. Not long before I met Lisa. Sunday night service, guy was preaching, and he was a missionary to Central America, Latin America, and he was asking for help for people that knew computers because he wanted to start a computer-based school, the first of its kind in Latin America. And I had a computer business, and we did computer-aided drafting, AutoCAD. I mean, you know AutoCAD, you got an engineering degree, you can make serious cash. And I went up to him after service. Actually, I called him the next day. I said, hey, I'm your guy. God spoke to me last night. And he says, what are you talking about? I said, AutoCAD, man. It's like $4,000 for one package. You got to have specialized everything. I go, I can get hardware donated. I can get the software donated. I'll come down there and we'll set you up. He says, who's going to teach it? I said, I'll teach it. He said, where are you going to stay? I said, I'll stay with you. And he says, what are you going to eat? I said, won't you feed me? He says, no, that's not how it works. And I discovered, being saved like six whole months, that I was woefully unprepared to follow the path that the Lord was calling me to. That day, I went to my partner and I said, hey, literally, this is what I said. I got to go. Do you want to buy me out? And he says, what? I said, I got to go, man. I'm out of here. Today, I'm gone. Now, I didn't leave for like 3 months, maybe 60 to 90 days. I said, but I got to go. I'm going to Bible college to get prepared for this. Will you buy me out? He says, are you crazy? This is just starting to go. All of our customers said, you're crazy, man. I said, hey, I'm following the Lord. He says, I'll buy you out. 2 years from that day, We were ministering down in Mexico. I had married this fine lady, and we were following God. If you're going to move, sometimes you've got to make a change. Now, you might not have to sell your house. You might not have to sell what you got, or you might not have to do. I did. And because I did, I'm here today. Amen? The thing is what do you need to do in the next 52 days to get you to a better point of living? See, you're going to make a change. You've got to get some structure. You've got to get some truth. And then you're going to start moving into that truth. And it's probably not going to happen like that. But you can make a decision. I need it to happen. And you start making wise choices. Start making some movement. And you start moving into a better spot. Amen? Amen?
Amen. Amen.
All right, here we go. We're almost done. The enemy is in the home. Enemy is in the home. Moreover, in those days, this is Nehemiah still talking. Moreover, in those days, I saw men of Judah who had married women from Ashdod. Ashdod was the capital of the Philistine country, I guess. So you got women from Philistines, Ammon, and Moab, the Ammonites and the Moabites. Half of their children spoke the language of Ashdod or the language of one of the other peoples and did not know how to speak the language of Judah. I rebuked them and called curses down on them. I beat some of the men and pulled out their hair. That's not what happened to me today. I made them take an oath on God's name and said, "You are not to give your daughters in marriage to their sons or take their daughters in marriage for your sons or for yourselves." See, Tobiah moved in the temple. And he was an Ammonite. And what these guys are doing is they are marrying Ammonite women and take them right into their home. They made a choice, unlike the choice I made, choosing my wife. Gets worse and worse. Moving into the temple, failure to hold the city, failure to hold the family. And the people had fallen back on the third point of their covenant with God. Will not intermarry with these people. And Nehemiah comes back and sees this happen all over the place. People moving away from the truth, moving away from their covenant, moving away from the Lord, and away from their blessings. God says, He says, "I don't want you marrying these people because they will drag your children away from me. They will cause your children to..." The Ammonites worshipped, the Moabites worshipped Baal, and the Ammonites worshipped Chemosh, and they both worship by sacrificing their children in the fire. That is a far way from the Lord. Amen?
Amen?
He says, "I don't want you getting all mixed up in that. I don't want you making choices that you are going to, that you're not going to be able to get away from down the road." Nehemiah pulled their hair out. It was a display of derision. He beat them and he pulled their hair. He did not dissolve their marriages. See, there are some choices that you will make that you can't get away from. Let me say that again. There are some choices that you will make that you cannot get away from.
Amen.
Nehemiah started yanking their hair out as a sign so that nobody else would follow in their steps. You have messed up. Sometimes you're going to mess up and you just got to live with it. Can I get a witness? I've seen some people that have made some incredibly poor choices. Land in prison for 20 years. Guess what? You can find the Lord in prison.
That's right.
Sometimes they lose the Lord. Get out. He'll send them right back in. You find the Lord in a difficult place, keep him when you're in a good place. Lord has no problem sending you right back to that difficult place. He says, "You're close to me in the difficult place? I'll keep you in the difficult place." He says, "Don't continue doing this stuff. Way forward is the same, even if you've made a choice you can't get away from. Get some structure, some walls, find truth, and step into it."
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Last thing. Nehemiah speaking, "Remember me for this." He is speaking to God now. "Remember me for this, O my God, and do not blot out what I have so faithfully done for the house of my God and its services." 4 times he requests that, 3 in chapter 13, once in chapter 5. He goes on later on in the same chapter, verse 29. Remember them, O my God. Remember them because they have defiled the priestly office and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. And I want to let you know this morning that God is paying attention. That Nehemiah has sacrificed his life and all these years out of his life, and he is not looking to get paid, but he is looking for a reward from heaven. And I want to let you know this morning that there is a day of reckoning. Amen. That maybe you have made choices that you will find it difficult to step away from. But this life is more than what you see around you today. That incredibly good-looking person next to you will one day be dust. But we all live forever. Amen?
Yes.
And Jesus is coming back. Revelation 22:12. Behold, I am coming soon, and my reward, say reward, would you?
Reward.
My reward is with me. That I am going to bring a reward for those people who have diligently served me. And I will bring a penalty for those who have lived against me. I will give everyone according to what he has done. Amen?
Amen?
Lisa, you want to come up here? I said, this is a challenging word today. Amen?
Amen?
It might be a day of change for you. Today you might have come in here and you're going, I have no structure in my life at all. We got a lot of people in here that are looking for a change. They are looking for jobs. Who's looking for a job here today? Put your hand up. Up high, up high, up high. Is that you, Matt? Put your hand up. Come on. Hi. There you go. There you go. Some people are looking for, you can put your hand in. You're looking for a place. Need a place. Oh, Lord, I need a place. I need a car. Lord, I need a car. I need my car to work. Oh, Lord. You know what those are? That's structure. And you have already come to the point of realizing I need a change in my structure. And Lord, for each of these persons, people, Lord, that have raised their hand saying, Lord, I pray your guidance and your direction and your provision for them, Lord. That you would be magnified in their lives. Because the choice has been made. I need change. Now I just got to step out into it. Maybe you come here today and you are overwhelmed with your situation. You don't know what to do. You don't know where to go. You have got dangerous people near you. And I'm letting you know today that those dangerous people are not going to change. And that you might need to make a choice today to get away from that situation. And you might say, I don't know how to get, I can't live anywhere except within it. Hey, if they're pulling you down now and they pulled you down for the years past, they're going to be pulling you down for time ahead. And it's just going to get worse and worse and worse. I don't got the answer for you today. But when you make the choice, I can't live like this anymore, Pastor. I can't live like this anymore, Lord. I want change. See, for change to happen, you got to move. Grab onto some truth and then start moving into it. Now maybe, this is the last thing. Maybe you have chose poorly and you don't have a fine wife like this lady or a fine husband like me. Nehemiah did not dissolve those marriages. Paul says to the church in Corinth, chapter, I want to say 6, 2 Corinthians 6:24. Do not be unequally yoked. Some of you will find yourselves unequally yoked. Some of you might make a poor choice and be unequally yoked, just like these guys did, marrying the Ammonites and the Philistines and the Moabites. God hates divorce. And I'm not telling you divorce, unless there's abuse going on, God wants you to be safe. God wants you to be secure. But, hear me on this. You can still find the fullness of God, even if you have made a poor choice on a spouse. you can find the richness of God poured out into your life. That person might be an addict. That person might be a drunk. That person might not be able to get a job. When you say, Lord, I stood before you one day, and this is what I grabbed onto, and if I could, I would do it differently, but I can't. So, Lord, I'm grabbing onto you today. That's truth. Amen? And what you can do is you can begin to try to build some structure in your life, even with that poor choice that you have made. And then you can find the truth of God that says, I will be your fullness. I will be your man. I will be your completeness. And you can grab onto him, and he will begin to pour out into your life. How many people, you know some people that have the fullness of God and have got a complete jerk for a spouse. Can I get a witness on that? You know some people like that. You can be that person. But today, you got to realize, I can't wait on him to get right for me to grab onto my Savior. And you young people, my wife says it all the time, don't be dumb. Don't pick that person that is going to be a millstone around your neck. Amen? Young people, amen? Yeah, I get a rousing amen from that. Lord Jesus, I come before you this morning. You are so awesome and so mighty, Lord. Nehemiah came back and the people were living in disgrace. They built walls. They poured in your word. You poured in your truth. They grabbed onto that truth, made a covenant. Things were going so good. Things were dialed in and clicking, and Nehemiah left, and they chose poorly. They moved away from you. And Nehemiah put it back together again. Lord, there are people here this morning, Lord, that have chosen poorly. Lord, that they need structure. That stability in their lives that allows us to reach out and grab onto truth, Lord. To find your word that is a lamp unto our feet, that you would guide and direct us. Lord, that we would step into that truth, find victory in our lives, free in our lives, free in our lives, free in our lives, free in our lives.